this episode of Uncommon Thinking, recorded live at Advertising Week New York, panelists discuss the opportunity for brands to leverage AI in their growth marketing operations. They'll also discuss how incorporating AI can optimize your creative processes, resulting in higher production output without a higher budget. This session is for anyone ready to take their marketing to the next level with AI-based solutions. Thanks for listening.
Thanks everyone for coming out. Excited for today's session. My name is Alex Lee. I'm the Senior Director of Global Non-Gaming Performance at AppLovin. If you're not familiar with AppLovin, but you've seen our water bottles or other kind of branding around, AppLovin makes technologies that enable businesses of every size to connect with their ideal customers. The company provides end-to-end software and AI solutions for businesses to reach a global audience. My role at AppLovin is to enable our growing non-gaming advertiser base to scale and efficiently reach our global supply of over 2 billion users using AI and machine learning solutions. I'm joined today by Charlene Fan, the Director of Growth at Poshmark. I'll do a quick blurb about Poshmark, and then I'll hand it off to you to do a little intro and dive into your day-to-day.
Sure.
So Poshmark is a leading fashion resale marketplace. It's powered by a vibrant, highly engaged community of buyers and sellers and real-time social experiences. If you haven't heard of Poshmark, it's designed to make online selling fun, more social, and easier than ever. Poshmark empowers its sellers to turn their closet into a thriving business and share their style with the world. Since launching in 2011, Poshmark has grown its community to over 100 million users worldwide and generated over $8 billion in GMV, meaning billions of dollars for sellers in earnings, delighting buyers with deals and one-of-a-kind items, and building a more sustainable future for fashion. Wow. So after that intro, Charlene, please, I'd love to learn a little bit more about yourself.
Awesome. So I've been in fashion for over a decade now. I started in my career at Toby.com, a women's fashion company. I was there for 5 years. I was a brand project manager, managing all of their digital assets and creatives for all of their marketing online and working there. And then now I'm going on my 7th year at Poshmark, so I'm a lifer at all these places, but I started there as a growth marketer, and I was managing UA campaigns across social platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. I launched Snap while I was doing that. More recently, now I'm one of the growth directors managing their awareness team and our partnership team, which the day-to-day really involves figuring out ways to optimize our spend and our creative development.
Awesome. Yeah, I actually first heard of Poshmark during my days doing analytics at ThredUp, which also kind of operates in the resale space. But my favorite kind of Poshmark story is during COVID in New York, when like New York was the worst place to be and all the restaurants and shops were closed, my wife kind of went through her Marie Kondo phase and started cleaning out the closet. So our kind of date trips each week would be to go to the post office to ship out like shoes and bags and other things. So I actually have like Poshmark to thank for giving us something to do while, you know, New York was kind of closed down. So, and thank you for the extra closet space, because that's where my clothes go. Quick note, I think it's pretty interesting. I think when our PR team asked you to send over some headshots, I think you sent over 4 or 5 headshots of like incredible quality with very different outfits in the span of like 10 minutes.
Okay. Not a couple, it was 2, and then I'll tell you what happened. So your PR team asked me to send a photo of myself, and I was like, yeah, let's just use the LinkedIn one. But then I realized that photo has been outdated. It's like 4 or 5 years before I had 2 kids. And I was like, maybe I should really update this photo. And so I was like, what better way to do it is to test out AI. And the funny thing is I logged on within like 30 minutes of sending the first one. And then I used the app and I uploaded a few photos of myself, and I got probably a few dozen results in terms of like the photos. It ranged from having extra cheek fillers to wearing a blouse that was totally off brand. And so I ended up with this photo, but it was quite a very interesting experience, because in matters of seconds, I was able to get a new headshot photo, and I didn't have to do a photo shoot. I didn't have to like go pick out an outfit. I literally told AI, I was like, you know what? I want beachy waves, because it gave me like some crazy hairdo. And it was like, just give me some regular beachy waves, a knit sweater, and earth tones. And literally, you guys, this is what it came back with. And so, hope I'm not catfishing.
Okay, photo, yeah. I might need to do that for mine, because I kind of feel like I look like I won a spelling bee, so I maybe want to try something else. Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's talk into AI. Obviously, it's a very hot topic these days. And we can start kind of with like a broad topic, which is just around the idea that I think across the industry, we've seen AI help companies achieve marketing goals at a lot larger scale and with kind of increased speed compared to traditional methods. But how are you seeing those impacts at Poshmark?
Yeah, so I think when I first started kind of doing UA campaigns, everything was completely manual. I was like doing the copywriting, I was uploading carousel images for, you know, Facebook campaigns. And now where the direction is going is towards dynamic ads and a lot of product feed. And what that really means is that there is a need for you to develop creative and quality creative at scale. And what AI and how AI plays into that role now is that you can come up with maybe just like a handful of creatives, and AI will then help assist and generate, you know, variations, like, you know, a few dozen variations of the same ad copy for you to run and test with. And so I think in that aspect, AI's helped our team really scale and go quickly with the same, you know, with the same resources that we have today.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of that too in terms of removing a lot of the very manual processes that go into marketing now, as opposed to if you traditionally, you know, on our platform, you may have to set up 10 different campaigns to go after 10 different geos. Now you can kind of just select all as one, put in one goal, and then kind of AI and automation will take care of all of the heavy lifting that you used to have to do before manually.
Yeah. I also think, like, you know, in the fashion industry, when you have a ton of different products and you want to test like different backgrounds, even for example, like, you know, you wanted to repost a product, like you're selling a dress and it you only sold through 50% of your inventory during that time and it's in the summer. And now you're in the winter and you want to relist this item, like AI can just put the shift dress from sandals into like boots and you can be able to scale that way and do it very quickly and seamlessly.
That's really interesting. Let's talk about the creative process in AI. I think that's where a lot of folks are spending their time. How is Poshmark thinking about incorporating AI into content creation or even the ad design phase to kind of ensure a good balance of quality and output?
Yeah, so what we're using today mainly as like one of the first AI products is a lot of copywriting, as I mentioned, being able to use it to help ideate for the team. We'll have like some ideas around where we want to go with the new campaign. You know, use AI and they'll give you like 10 ideas or more to kind of riff off of. Another way that we're really using it that's been super helpful, I know that a lot of advertisers here are advertising on not just one platform, but on multiple platforms, especially if you're doing omnichannel. And once you find a campaign that's very successful and you're seeing great results, you want to replicate that on other platforms. And Adobe just kind of launched, this is an Adobe plug, but it's been great because the team's been able to use it to resize images, right? So before, when you had maybe a vertical ad creative, and now you wanted to make it horizontal, you're missing like half the background on each side, and now AI is able to now fill in the gaps on each side. And so, in that aspect, it's great for, you know, to utilize AI to do some of those resizing and those manual processes that the post-production team would have to spend hours doing in the past.
Gotcha. That is super interesting. I think we have an in-house design team called Spark Labs, and they're really leaning into AI too across a lot of those facets. I didn't know about that Adobe sort of that feature, so that's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Let's reduce like the creative team's kind of like manual work by a significant amount.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about maybe for specifically AI when it comes to kind of campaign optimization. How is Poshmark leveraging AI when it comes to, I think, you know, more of like the actual campaign day to day?
Yeah. So, as you guys may know, Poshmark is a marketplace, and all of our ad content on our product feed is user generated content. So everyday users upload images, and we use those images for Facebook, and we use those for our dynamic ads. And what our team has started to test into is basically using AI to enhance these ad images. So if the lighting isn't as great, or you know, the background's really busy, what we've done is actually found we tested a subset of product ads, and we changed the background to make it look more uniformed, mm-hmm. and to really enhance you know, how the product, the bag or the shoe, is displayed in the image. And we've actually seen quite quite successful in that product. We've been able to see higher click-through rates and lower funnel conversion just from doing a quick fix of like changing the background of the product.
Interesting. Okay, but that's mostly for mobile. Are you doing anything around like CTV when it comes to like voiceover or anything along those lines?
You just took the words out of my mouth. So, you know, we've been working with AppLovin and it's been great. So we launched CTV in the U.S. and after we saw success working with AppLovin on CTV, our other country managers in Canada was really interested in, you know, launching in Canada as well. But as you know, in Canada, they speak English and they speak French Canadian as well. And so we needed to quickly come up with another ad creative for us to test. And so we actually looked into using AI and we've found agencies that was able to kind of come up with a AI voiceover version of our existing ad commercial to kind of test there. So we're in the process of doing that, but the process itself, you guys, it's so amazing to see. The agency came back and was like a list of like, how many versions of it do you want? Like what dialect of like Spanish do you want it in? Do you want it in like French Colombian or Spanish Colombian, or do you want it in like, there was just so many.
Right, there's so much nuance there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The QA process of getting a Spanish voiceover that's targeting Latin America as opposed to actually Spain itself, right? They speak Spanish differently. How are you thinking about it? Is the agency managing a lot of that? Or like how do you kind of QA basically like where the voiceover goes regionally, where the language is the same, but maybe the pronunciation or idioms are different?
So totally. So I think, and also with like the age, the demographic differences and how they speak, like how, you know, maybe our grandma spoke and how we speak and how my son speaks. And so I think a lot of that QA part is, you can't get away from the human touch points of, of AI, right? So our team will go through the list of, you know, what we think is potentially good, and then we would go to our country managers and kind of fact check and double check, does this make sense with the commercial that we're running? And make sure that it's definitely on brand and it ties back to our brand voice and our brand personality.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point, which is the idea that, you know, even though AI really helps streamline processes and, you know, help you save resources, which I think in today's economic backdrop is super important for a lot of brands, there's still these kind of touch points where human interaction and human sort of like management is critical. So maybe like we can dive into that a little bit more. Like what are some of the areas or cases where you've found that at Poshmark that kind of human interaction is still super valuable?
Yeah, well, AI came back and told me I was a pop star in one of them, and I'm definitely not a pop star. So, you know, there's those types of instances where you really need to know who you're, like, what your brand is about, like, what do your brand stand for, your brand voice, your brand personality, because it could take you in all different directions with AI. It'll return, like, 10 different, thousands of, you know, different personalities. And so it's really important to kind of utilize it, but know who you are. I think it'll help you ideate in the beginning, but then the more that you know about your brand, you can better leverage AI to really come back with creative results that you can actually use.
I think that's really interesting, the idea that you shouldn't expect AI to sort of give you the full painting, but it'll at least leave you somewhere better than having a blank canvas to start, and then really making sure that from an AI perspective, you're setting the right kind of input in, to ensure that you get the right brand direction from the output perspective.
Right. I think to your point too, like it's not like you're not gonna be able to do like one subset of input to get exactly what you want. It might take a couple of different tries and iterations of like what you're telling AI to truly get the results that you're looking for.
So I think that is kind of like an interesting one because, you know, I think traditionally performance and brand marketers didn't necessarily see eye to eye when it comes to like creative process and production. And now with kind of AI speeding up and allowing a lot more testing, like have you seen that change the way those two teams work together?
Yeah, I think you're trying to put me on the hot seat about like, you know, performance and brand, but I've been on both sides, right? So I think at Toby, I was like on the brand marketing side, and then on, you know, at Poshmark, I was doing UA and performance, and now I'm like overseeing like the awareness team. So I've kind of got a blend of the whole thing because I understand, like, you know, the performance side, they're just like put red on everything because, you know, people will click it. But I think nowadays, you know, with limited resources on the brand side, I understand, you know, there's so many projects that are moving at one time, and so sometimes the rift between the two teams is like the resources that, you know, the performance teams demands, especially when you have so many campaigns going at once. What I've seen for us is basically the performance team will come up with an idea, they'll ideate, whether it's, you know, with themselves or with AI, and then be able to generate all of these different ideas and bring it back to the brand team and collaborate with them on that, those touch points in terms of, okay, these are within our guidelines, okay, but then it allows the brand team to work much more quickly because we've come to them with ideas and a lot of ideas for them, so they've been much more happy in that process.
Awesome. So is it fair to say that, you know, you're seeing marketers across both sides of the aisle really embrace that new level of responsibility with AI, that everyone kind of has to be brand minded because whatever you kind of put into the system, like the output is going to can vary wildly depending on sort of like, you know, how you're thinking about brand messaging.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, let's talk about, I think, ad spend and ROI. Let's sort of dive into how you're seeing AI helping marketers get the best ROI and sort of also stay within budget. Because I think obviously that's a top of mind thing these days is how does AI help us save money and also drive efficiency?
Yeah, I think to my point in the beginning is that where it's everything is going now is really all of these platforms is just looking for more content and quality content and using, and for you to be able to figure out within your work stream or in your creative development, where can AI kind of fit into those areas? So I keep going back to this example of like creative writing or creative development because it's real, like for resourcing, right? For if you have multiple promotions or campaigns that are going on, how do you produce more and more copywriting or copy ads for your campaigns when you have a team of one or two and you're not scaling your team as quickly as you are scaling the content that you need for all these platforms?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, right? Because what we've seen as we've rolled out different technology updates is the ability to really quickly optimize creative performance across almost like an unlimited set of assets. But I think with that speed and efficiency in terms of the ability to test a ton of creatives, we're also kind of running into this kind of catch-22 where, you know, AI just allows this like super fast rate of testing, but also the creative decay is also speeding up too. Are you seeing that in kind of like your different channels?
Absolutely. So especially in video content, right? You need to refresh video content, I would say, depending like 2 days or even a week, just depending on how much 5 days, but it really depends on how much you're spending against these ads, but the decay is just quicker and quicker. And as the platform starts using AI themselves to deliver ads to the different types of people, background, mm-hmm. demographics, and things like that, they're just looking for more massive amount of content to deliver to them. And so how are you as an advertiser being able to produce that? And yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, so it is kind of, you get one with the other. Yeah. You can test a lot faster and you can iterate and you can uncover winners and losers much sooner and spend less money against that testing process. But the rate at which you need new assets almost kind of mandates using AI in the creative process.
Right. And I think that's one thing about AppLovin, right? For an advertiser like myself, when we look for new partners or new channels, it's really important for them to be able to, you know, get out of the learning phase quickly. And with that, you need a lot of content in the beginning to deliver to the platforms to test and quickly test.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because it's basically a forcing function, right? Whether or not you are using AI in your creative process, I just think the rate of creative decay basically means that the platforms are going to be hungry for more information, hungry for data. So, you know, whether you use AI or any other mechanism, you kind of have to speed up the rate at which you're basically testing out new creatives without reducing the quality piece.
Exactly. I think that's really key. It's like, you know, for performance side, for us especially, is like, you know, our team is always like, how do we iterate on this? How do we, you know, find the winner and then put on the new copy? How do we change out the music? And how do we do a whole combination of this and then increase the output of all of these creative content that, like, you know, TikTok and Facebook are hungry for?
Yeah, I would say across our platform too, we typically give guidance about, like 10 to 14 days in terms of before a campaign asset kind of runs through its life cycle. And it is a massive ask for advertisers to just give us a whole batch of new creatives every single 2 weeks.
Right.
Which is why, again, kind of a shameless plug for Spark Labs, we've been able to deliver so much value for advertisers who may not know how to start leveraging AI or, you know, dip a toe in the water or just can't keep pace with making creatives at such a breakneck speed.
Yeah, I think especially for like fashion brands when, you know, you don't have millions of products like on Poshmark, so
sure.
How do you keep iterating on the same, you know, products that you have? Like you would just, you know, with a lean team, and that's where I would definitely like lean into AI to kind of, you know, produce new ideas for the same product, put it in a different background, change the seasons of, you know, how you're displaying the ads and the products, and so, yeah.
Interesting, awesome. So I guess maybe just to circle back, I think we've covered a number of interesting topics. If you were going to, you know, give some advice to businesses who are just kind of getting started out in using AI in performance marketing, what would kind of be some of the top recommendations or lessons that you've learned from the early kind of experiments you've run at Poshmark?
Yeah, I think within AI, like a lot of the creative processes will now become automated. For example, like post-production, when you do a whole photo shoot and then afterwards you have to color match the product or things like that, that AI may take over, but it allows more opportunity for strategic roles to develop, and because we have to govern it, right? You need a human co-pilot with AI. You can't let it run wild, and so I think that's one of the key learnings. And I think if you're just starting out with AI, I would look at your entire creative process and then figure out where you are lacking resources or where areas that AI can, you know, pinpoint and really help you speed up in the development. But I don't think it's going to like take you, you know, from the ideation phase and then all of a sudden, you know, produce it all, right? Like it's not at that point.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that is worth sort of double clicking on, which is I think for a lot of advertisers who are using AI, they first need to take kind of a 30,000 foot view across their entire marketing stack. And as opposed to just expecting AI to be this like blanket that just solves everything, but really kind of being more surgical and understanding where you can deploy AI either operationally, as you mentioned, a lot of the efficiencies around maybe standardizing like the background images or other aspects, or even just widening like length or sizing for the banners on Adobe, but also just ensuring that you use it as a starting launch point. It's more of a kind of a surgical approach as opposed to like a shotgun.
For sure.
And then how would you, like, if someone just had to start somewhere, like what would be kind of like two or three things that you would give advice, just like, you know, like where would you even just start testing out with AI?
You asked me that earlier and I said, maybe you could start with your own headshot, but I think.
Yes.
But don't catfish anybody if you need a headshot for LinkedIn. I think it's a great way to just even understand AI for yourself and how that affects you and your personal brand and where AI could, you know, the power of AI and what it could really help you in your work life.
Gotcha. So work it into your own day to day. Start with a LinkedIn photo or
one, a dating profile app.
I'm happily married, so definitely don't get me in trouble on stage. I think also one thing we've seen from our creative team is, you know, just learning how to sort of code the inputs. The idea that, you know, each kind of either whether it's generative AI or like a language learning model like ChatGPT, there's different ways to kind of question the model to get the output that you would want. I think it's for sure makes sense to start testing with stuff that's more personal, so you can kind of test and iterate without making mistakes from a brand perspective. So that is really good advice. Thank you.
Yeah, and to your point, it's like understanding your brand voice, brand personality first before jumping into AI and then going from there, because, you know, without those kind of foundation, if you just jump into AI, it definitely seems really overwhelming, but it's actually very powerful and definitely a tool that you'll be using in your toolkit as a marketer.
Awesome. Well, I think that about wraps it up for us today. So thank you so much, Charlene, for joining us on stage, and thanks everyone for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. For more programs like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's expanding roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.